I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It will never not amaze me that people have time, so much time, to spend on things they hate. I don't even have time to spend on all the things I like. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am John R. Bray.
And I am Heather B. Armstrong. Maybe. Maybe.
Sometimes when you can see straight. You know, we start these a lot by just saying that it's been a week. And I think that's because it always has been a week.
Yeah.
And sometimes more than others. But we've also been talking just generally, you know, as we've mentioned in the past, about some things that we want to touch on and asked you guys, our listeners, for some thoughts on what you want to hear about. And we kind of wanted to delve a little bit, even if only surface level, into bullying. For kids, but I mean, I guess you probably know better than anyone else, Heather, that bullying also exists in the adult world. Especially online.
Like the people who hate listen to this podcast think that we don't know that they're hate listening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it just exists in their own little bubble, but that's not quite what happens.
They have no idea that we're like playing them like little puppets. So,
Yeah. But I think bullying is a hot topic. At every age. For adults, but I think in more situations, adults have more tools to help them cope with it or ignore it or whatever. And kids don't so much.
Right.
And I think the internet and technology has also made bullying extra terrible and easier.
Yeah, I think what I have gone through in the last 4 days has given me a very clear so I even told you this. Like, I have been my friend Cammy, who is 30, she's a millennial, as are you, and she has spent the last 3 weeks here. I took her to the airport yesterday with plenty of time for her to get to her gate.
As you do. That is your thing. I mean.
Yes. And she's the same way. There hasn't been a lot of sleep going on in the last 4 or 5 days. No one's really been asleep. Well, Cammy and I didn't sleep very much. And she fell asleep at the gate and could sort of hear during her sleep state, like the boarding, you know, they're calling for boarding the plane, but she thought it was for the plane at the gate next to her, but it was actually her plane, and she slept through it, and she missed her flight. So I went back and picked her up, and she went on a red eye last night back to New York. But I, having spent the last 3 weeks with her, intimately, but not, no, of course,
not like
to say that rumors are going to spread. I have such a better insight into your generation and what you're going through. Also, what has happened with Marlo over the past few days has given me an insight into, like, the crazed, basically what technology is doing to kids and what they're going through. And it's a long, long, long and complicated.
Oh, yeah. Fuckery. Well, we have like a good 55 minutes left, so. But okay. I think I will say, though,
yeah,
I think everything that has happened, I know I'm the resident pessimist here, but I'm going to find the silver lining. which sounds fucking impossible given the whole situation.
Well, I think the silver lining here is that, like, there is a, I'll talk about this publicly just because it's such a huge, huge insight into what is happening. And I don't think people have ever really articulated exactly, like, I mean, yes, screen time is like messing up kids' brains and they're doing is screening and they're not going outside and playing in dirt and all that. But there's also an emotional element to this that I had not considered.
What do you mean by that?
So I got Marlo a phone for Christmas just so that we could text and talk, because sometimes, often she likes to stay after school and have her teacher help her with her math.
Oh, wow.
So I need to know when to come pick her up. And I would just like to be able to communicate with her when she's away from home. Like, I limited, there was like only one app on the phone that she could use. So it was literally just to like talk and text.
Okay.
I believe it was Sunday night that she called me up into her room and she was like, she had this look on her face, like it was like a Black Mirror episode. The phone was across the room, like she had tossed it over on some pillows and she was sitting there looking at me and she was just like gripped with terror. So on Monday I spoke to the principal and to her teacher, and then we had an emergency session with her therapist. I think we've discussed this before. These kids like to get into group texting and group FaceTiming.
Yep.
We've mentioned this before, right? Does Lexton do that?
No. He doesn't care about communicating with people. It's infuriating, but in some situations, it's also pretty great. But I will also say, and this is the one part where I think it's hard with you and I, because you have girls and I have a boy, but neither one of us has, like, both. I guess, though, your yeah. new blended situation, you are kind of seeing both.
Yeah.
Because, in part, I mean, he does have, you know, group texting with close groups of friends, but these are, like, five guys that are, the conversations are ridiculous. I mean, they're not even really conversations. It's mostly just communicating back and forth with memes and GIFs and completely yeah. harmless, but I think it's different with girls, just based on what mm-hmm. we've talked about.
Yeah, really quickly, a quick tangent. So Cowboy's son moved to the dorms last week. The kids had come home from Christmas, and they had all gotten new games for the Nintendo and the Switch and whatnot. And he is amazing with Marlo, because he's had a younger sister his whole life, right?
Right.
So he's amazing with Marlo, and Marlo's never had an older brother. They went to go tour the dorms the morning before he moved in, and Marlo's like, I want to go. And she was so sad when he left. Like, it was really, really precious to, I mean, it was sad, but it was like precious to think, oh, she loves this kid.
Right. They developed that connection in a pretty short amount of time, all things considered.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And he's close, though, so that's good.
Yeah, he's close.
That's nice.
Yeah. We'll see him often. Yeah, so there's a group text going on between, there are four girls in the text, and it very quickly devolves into saying terrible things to each other. Very, very quickly. Because one of them is very impatient and she doesn't like it when people don't respond immediately. And then the name calling starts happening and then it devolves into really terrible stuff.
And is this, if I can ask, is this like everybody attacking everybody, or does it inevitably turn into like a 3-on-1 or 2-on-2 situation?
It, all of that.
Okay.
Everything. All of it.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. When I talked to the principal about it, she was just, I love her, and she's, shout out to Deborah. She sat back in her chair and she's like, oh my God. She's like, this is like the fourth or fifth group texting incident that has impacted the kids at school. Like, it's happening, and it's happening in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, where these kids get into these group texts and it becomes a horrifyingly bullying situation. And I don't think they even understand that they're bullying.
In the fourth fucking grade.
Yes.
I don't understand. You don't even know what you are in fourth grade. Like,
no. And so,
oh man,
I went to her therapist, and he is very unique in his technique. I usually go in at the beginning of the therapy session and I say what's going on, and then I leave, and then Marlo goes in, or Lita goes in. Lita actually wants to see a female therapist. So anyway, he's really good with young kids, and he does this art therapy with them where he gets them to like sort of express their emotions through art. And he's amazing with Marlo. She loves him. I had called him after Marlo and I had a talk, and I was like, I really need to see you soon. So he like literally stayed after his normal appointments to see us.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And I told him what was going on, and he talked to Marlo, and then he called me back in, and literally we're now an hour and a half past when he usually goes home. And he talked to me longer than he's ever talked to me before.
Like, not rushed in the least, just let's figure this out.
No, he was just like, so, and this is the insight that it gave me, because it completely matched up with the look on her face when he said, so they were in a group text situation and it devolved into people being angry at each other. And Marlo was overcome with a feeling of anger that scared her to death. Like, she didn't understand that emotion. She couldn't comprehend the emotion that she was feeling. And she literally told me, please take that away. I don't ever want to see it again.
About your phone? About her phone, rather?
About her phone, yes.
So that was what... So it wasn't even anything like that was specifically said to her. It was just her inability to recognize and process the anger that resulted emotion from that.
Yeah, and it was...
That's fascinating. Not in a like right? a good way, but I mean, that's really interesting. Huh.
Like, these kids are being confronted with emotions that they shouldn't be confronted with for another decade, right?
Oh yeah.
And so that emotion comes along, they do not know what that emotion is even. And it was terrorizing for her. I think that's what's going on with a lot of kids in this technology, is that there's an emotional component that they are too young to deal with, and it is terrorizing for them. It's horrifying for them. She has not asked for that phone. She doesn't want to see it. That was the insight that I got. It's been an interesting few days with all of this.
Well, it's, I mean, not that this makes it easier for her to process. I guess from my perspective, it's almost comforting to know that it wasn't one thing in particular. It wasn't like something that she disliked about herself necessarily. It's really an immaturity thing. Like, she doesn't know how to handle that emotion.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, a bigger issue, but
She didn't understand that emotion. She didn't understand what she was feeling. And it was like scary for her. And it wasn't like, well, she called me stupid, or she told me that I'm dumb, or that I suck. Like, it wasn't any of that. It was just like, as she was reading all of these messages, something happened emotionally for her that was extraordinarily confusing.
Wow. Well, I think, I mean, given everything that's happening today, just in our country and in the world, that's really sad, because it's great that Marlo has that therapist, and great that she has you, but not all kids have that.
Right.
And not all kids feel that they can talk to their parents about it. Not all parents respond in a way that helps them explore it. So these kids who are, you know, in third grade or fourth grade or fifth grade are facing this just visceral hate that they don't know how to process.
Right.
But find some way to process it. And it just, I mean, I would imagine it will just get uglier and uglier because they don't know what to do with it. And I think hate's going to lead to anger or violence or any or self-harm. I mean, any number of things. And that's far too young to try and wrap your mind around that.
Yeah. And so here I am. We had that whole episode about like if you want to homeschool, we are happy for you to do that, but we're not going to do it. And then you started homeschooling.
Oh yeah. Yep.
And I have always been, because Lita is capable of going into the phone and then coming out of the phone, like she's very capable of separating those things. I've always been the parent who's like, well, you know, she works so hard elsewhere. It's fine that she's on the phone for a couple hours a night. Like, I'm like, screen time, whatever. And now I'm the parent who is not letting my younger child have any screen time at all. Like, she gets like an hour on the weekend. That's it.
Which you've noticed has helped.
Yes, tremendously.
But I'm guessing, even though it's obviously limited to what it can do, the exception is the phone, which means the exception is texting.
Yes.
Yeah. God, that's so hard. And she has good friends, right, that she doesn't mm-hmm. get in these arguments with. So it's hard to then say, well, you can't text because that's her line of communication with her friends.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I've gone in and I've blocked a few people on her iPad and on her phone. I've blocked the kids who are, he also had this insight into Marlo, and I don't think I'm violating her privacy by saying this, because I think a lot of kids are probably like this. She is a really, really sweet kid, and she's a people pleaser, and her heart and her brain don't know how to deal with manipulative behavior. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Well, the kind, like the just, I don't like that word because it's so generic, but like just the genuinely nice kids get shit on. And there's really no other way to put it.
The manipulative behavior to them is like really confusing, and they don't know how to feel, and they want to please. And so, but you can't really please a manipulator. You know what I mean?
Well, they don't want to be pleased, ultimately. I mean, once you've done what they want you to do, then there's something else and something else and something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And it's hard, too, because you want to help her understand the emotion, but at the same time, she shouldn't have to at that age. Like, life is long. You got plenty of time to hate, but not when you're little.
Plenty of time to hate.
You got time to hate when you're older. Just save that. But that's so, I mean, even as an adult, it's a feeling, it's a gross feeling to feel that kind of like anger towards someone.
Yeah.
Is hard to process. So I can't even imagine as a little brain, like to try to do that.
The principal even expressed what you just expressed. She's like, you know, oh my God, I'm so happy that Marlo has these resources. You know, I'm happy that I can afford his hourly rate because, you know, mental health is not covered by my insurance. So I've like saved up enough money so that I can pay to go see him. We're going to be seeing him weekly now just to sort of process some stuff that's gone on. I have that resource. And like you said, there are so many kids out there who either don't want to communicate what they're experiencing and they don't have the resources to help them process it.
Right. Well, I think too, I mean, even outside of professional therapy, it's easy as an adult. Like if she came to you and said, this is what happened, this group text, it's easy as an adult to say, well, just don't text those people. Just stop communicating. And that solves the problem. And it does, but not for her, not in her brain, because that doesn't erase what happened. And all that really does is tell kids, I need to figure out how to deal with it myself, and I'm not going to say anything next time. Mm-hmm. Because she also doesn't know, I mean, that's a separate skill in itself when you identify people who are toxic and say, I'm no longer going to associate with them. Like, that takes some time. I mean, I'm going to be 35 and I don't even know if I'm 100% good at that. Like, it takes it takes a serious effort, you know?
Well, so yeah, it takes a serious effort. And I think she's a lot like me. I have a hard time setting boundaries because I want to please. And people pleasers are just like, have a really hard time saying, this is my limit. This is the limit that I have set, and you have crossed that limit. It's very hard for us to do that. And so when we get into relationships that are manipulative, we're very easily manipulated.
Yeah. Well, because I think you set that limit to protect yourself, basically. But then when that limit is crossed or pushed, you blame yourself.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, it's not going to work at all. it just won't. But it's a hard cycle to break.
There's a friend of hers that they play all the time together, but then that Marlo's limit gets crossed and Marlo is like, I can't do this anymore. And I'm like, well, then you have to like separate yourself from her. But then Marlo comes home and she's like, we're fine. Everything's fine. And it's like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's like this vicious, vicious, vicious cycle where Marlo's limit gets crossed and then Marlo forgives. And then, it's just over and over and over again.
Yeah. Well, and I think that piece of it is almost normal for that age. I mean, I can remember when Lexton was little and he'd be really good friends with someone and then not friends with them at all. And then suddenly friends again. Because if you don't have that really intense hate and bullying to deal with, it's just this simplicity of a kid's emotions, like their simplified version. Like, I don't like them. They were mean to me. Oh, I guess they really weren't that mean. I like them again. And that can work unless there's that bullying element. And half of that equation is genuinely out to do harm.
Yeah.
Now, I imagine Lita is aware of what's going on.
Yes. Lita's very aware. And Lita's a lot like Lexton in the sense she doesn't ever do group texting, you know?
Right.
I looked at her screen time for the last week and she spends most of her time just scrolling through Instagram. You know, she texts her friends here and there, but she really only texts her friends to be like, oh, do you want to meet here? Or do you want to meet there? Whereas Marlo's generation is like telling stories and like, what are you wearing and what are you doing? And let's make up a story. And like, they're having this whole like interaction that isn't like technical, like Lita's doing it.
Well, she's texting with a purpose. I mean,
yeah,
that actually makes me feel a lot better because I feel like you have to communicate with your friends, and this sounds weird, but even when you don't need something, like even if you don't want to hang out, it's okay to communicate with people, like to have that. And he doesn't, but his friends don't either. It's only when they want to get together.
Yeah.
That they text. And I feel like that's kind of weird, but it works. And maybe that is the age. Like they don't need to spend the time having a conversation via text. Maybe they just don't. I don't know. I guess I'd rather that than having to deal with a bully situation. And it's hard. I mean, I hate bringing this guy up. I hate acknowledging his existence right now, but Louis C.K. in stand-up from like years ago, he was talking about bullying in the digital age. And he made a really interesting observation that because texting eliminates the face-to-face. And I think that the example he used was one girl calling another girl fat. He said, you can say that via text and you don't have to see the person's face or body language or reaction or the hurt. So then you don't even have to feel that it was bad because that has been disconnected. Mm-hmm. And I do think there is a lot to that. I mean, there are obviously kids who bully face to face. It's not that it would eliminate it, but I think it just makes it a lot easier because you can say really nasty things and the person on the other end could be crying and you don't know that.
Right.
And that's a dangerous situation.
Well, it's basically It's like my comment section, come alive, come alive. Like, you know, I've been dealing with this for 18 years, right? Like people saying shit to me that, you know, horrifying judgments when they know nothing about what's going on, really.
They know everything about you, Heather, stop.
Just like the complete misunderstanding or the complete deliberately misinterpreting what I'm doing. And like, I've been dealing with that for 18 years, right? But now my 9-year-old is dealing with that with friends, like people she knows.
Yeah.
Like these are people I don't know, but these are people she knows in real life and has to go interact with the next day.
Well, it's because those people in your comment section spawn children. that's what happens. But there is an amount of truth to that. Like, if those people who are, you know, 35 and in your comment section telling you you're a horrible mother or any number of awful things have kids, like even if it's not direct, their acceptance of behavior like that is conveyed to their children. Mm-hmm. It just is. I mean, just like if you do kind things, your kids pick up on it. It sucks that they're so little and doing that.
Yeah.
But even, I mean, I know you've mentioned this before, like you struggled with dealing with that hate as an adult.
It's a very strange phenomenon to deal with. Like I said, like most people can count on one hand the number of people that they don't get along with, right? Or who they have a bad relationship with.
Right.
And then suddenly when my website took off, like I was very, very aware that there were like hundreds, if not thousands of people who really did not like me, like, or who were deliberately misinterpreting every single decision and word that I said.
And for no reason, like for no gain at all.
No, and it's a weird, it's a weird reality to deal with. And I've talked about this before where like these celebrities who shoot to fame and are suddenly confronted with, oh my God, there's all of this scrutiny. There is a scrutiny that is so intense. And you read some of the scrutiny and you're like, well, this person has no idea what's going on, really going on in my life. And they're making this judgment about me that is completely not true. And you're not supposed to care about it, but it's a weird, weird reality to deal with.
Right. Well, to have to acknowledge that someone hates you for no reason other than hate, mm-hmm, is just bizarre. And we've talked about this before, that it's, I mean, in part, it's sad. In part, it will never not amaze me that people have time, so much time to spend on things they hate. I don't even have time to spend on all the things I like. But people take, I mean, like, people will hate listen to this episode and devote an hour of their day to hate it. And then more time talking about why they hate it. Mm-hmm. I can't wrap my head around that. There are just so many better ways to spend your time.
This morning I looked at my calendar and I was like, I'm so far behind on email and catching up, and there's like there's a million things to do. And I was like, I need a 4-hour block of time to catch up. And I don't see in my calendar where I can do that.
No.
And I don't know how people have the time to sit down and this sort of segues into your generation. Can we talk about you guys?
Well, we can. And that's what I was getting at earlier on when I was talking about the silver lining, is you've faced a lot of these challenges and you're from one generation. Cammie, mm-hmm, is facing challenges. She's from a different generation. Marlo is facing challenges. She's from a different generation.
Yes.
So it's like this full spread and spectrum to see the similarities and differences, which I do think that's a silver lining, because I think it's probably helpful for you to see how things have changed or not changed.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay. I did engage, and I'm going to completely come clean about this. Well, it's there. It's not erased. It's somewhere on my Facebook feed. But I got into an argument with a millennial, and I totally took the low road, and I was just like, fuck you, millennial. Like, fucking grow up. Like, fucking pull it together. You know? That's, like, what I was thinking.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
I know. You do. You get that a fuck ton.
Yep.
But then I started spending more time with millennials, and I started understanding, like, so I don't know if I've told this story before, but I went out when I was dating in Utah. I went out with this 51-year-old dude. And we went to a Vietnamese restaurant.
Okay.
And I should have known something was wrong when he didn't open the menu, right? He knew what he wanted. And he was sort of annoyed that it was taking me like a few minutes to decide what I wanted.
Because everyone studies the menu before a date.
Well, I guess he goes there a lot, so he knows what he wants. So, you know, I order my food and we eat, and it's just, he is just really, I don't know, he's just really angry. And mind you, I am at the height of my depression. The height of the worst depression of my life.
So really not even wanting to be there anyway, but trying to force yourself to be social and,
mm-hmm. yeah. And I was like, whoa, he's angrier than I am. And for some stupid reason, I agreed to go to a second location with him. We went and got drinks afterward. And I bought the drinks, and it was a crowded bar. And we found a table, and I sit down, and I was like, gosh, I couldn't get the attention of the bartender. And he's like, oh, it's a millennial over there. And I'm like, oh, God, here it goes.
As in the bartender's a millennial, and that's why you couldn't get their attention? Oh, good God.
And that's millennial behavior. And I was like, what? And like, I gave him this like really confused look, like, what are you talking about? And he said, and he goes off. He did the same. He's like, you know, when I was their age, I had school debt. I did this.
Yep.
And I looked at him and I said, you sound like my dad.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
And he's like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, do you understand? Do you understand the pressure that these kids are under? And the fact that they are, and I started to defend you guys.
It's okay. Lump me in there.
I was like, do you understand the debt that they're facing? Like, they're facing an amount of debt that you cannot comprehend as a 51-year-old man in terms of like just getting educated.
Oh, yeah. Massive, and like mortgage debt.
Mortgage
getting educated,
debt.
Yeah.
And because of that, they are delaying most of life's activities, like getting married or having children or buying a home, because just to get a degree is costing them their entire lives. And he was just like, for fuck's sake, they just need to fucking grow up. And I lost my mind. I raged. I told the story to Cammie. I was like, Cammie, I became you. And I took my drink and I threw it across the table at him.
Really? Holy God, that's awesome.
Yes.
I never heard this story.
I totally forgot about it. And I was like, I was just like, fuck you. And I like threw my drink across the table at him. And I got up and I left.
Oh, wow. So did you hear from him again?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, man.
No, and I've spent enough time around millennials to, I will say this, I am sensing a collective malaise among your generation. Yeah. That it's hard to explain, but there is a collective malaise and a tinge of hopelessness among certain millennials, a lot of millennials, many millennials. And it's a tangible, palpable malaise that is going on among them. And I have actually never witnessed closer friendships. When I'm around them, their friendships are just like, this malaise is bonding them, because they're just like, what are we going to do?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I have a handful of friends, and I think, and some of them are my closest, dearest friends. And every time we get together, every single time, we talk about student loans. Every time. And we've all been out of school for like 10 years, at least. Some of them longer. And that's a topic because, not because we're getting close to paying it off, but because it's almost this depressing joke that we're never going to.
Yeah.
Like, we can't. There's no way, because it's those payments plus rent or mortgage, plus a car, plus all of these things. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you have the people that are like, well, then you don't need a car payment. You shouldn't have a car payment. Okay, well, we have to get to work and buy groceries. Like, you can't expect millennials to not live. Like, they have to live. Mm-hmm. No, I agree that you don't necessarily need a BMW, but you need a car. You know, you need to go out with friends. You need to feel like you shouldn't have to sit at home and eat ramen to pay off your student loan debt. Right. But it is that malaise. I think that's a really interesting observation. And I guess I hadn't considered it that way, because at least in my circle, which is terrible, but it's become funny how hopeless it is.
That's sort of your way to deal with it.
Oh, completely. Yeah. It's a coping mechanism for it. Because I think when you're so far down in a pit and see no way out, you can just kind of sit there in despair or make it a joke. But either way, the situation is not going to change.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's hard.
A lot of the millennials that I have hung out with, God, it sounds like, it sounds so technical when I say that, but they have witnessed what it takes for me to raise my children. And the you know, the logistics of having two kids, just two very, very good kids.
Yep.
And many of them have expressed to me, I don't see how I could possibly have children and afford the time or the money. How am I supposed to do that? Like, how the logistics of raising a kid are like mind-blowing when it comes to the fact that you're already so in debt and can't climb out of it.
Right. Well, I mean, we've talked about, you know, we always talk about dropping balls, and it's kind of like when you're already barely keeping them in the air, if at all, and then you think mm-hmm. about, you know, getting married and having two kids, it's basically like acknowledging that either the kids are going to be the balls you drop, or you're going to have to drop others, because there's no way to juggle it all. So you choose not to have them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. it's going to be really interesting to see, like with Lita and Lexton and Marlo, what changes. And
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm hopeful-ish, but it doesn't, I don't know. I say interesting, but it's also kind of terrifying to think about.
Just as an example, my cousin who used to babysit for us when Marla was one, she got married and she's got two kids now, and she stays home to raise them. And her husband has gone, he got a degree in social work, and then he had to go get another like graduate degree in order to get his certificate to do social work. And social work doesn't pay very well.
No. Any service that helps people in need really tends to not pay a whole lot.
And he's good at it. Like, that is his like calling in life, is to like, he's really, really, really good with people. And so here he's gone, and he's spent how much money to get that degree? Because that's like what he's best in the world at. And I can see somebody going, well, he shouldn't have gotten a degree in social work. You know, like, go get a degree in business. And
yeah, because fuck all those people who actually need help from social workers. Yep.
And so they have been living their entire married lives in the basement of either their mother or their father's house so that they can afford to live. And because she really, really, really wanted kids. And, you know, I just have a lot of empathy for, the judgment that I ever had about, oh, come on, you know, like, so for instance, when I graduated college, no, I didn't have any debt. I didn't have any college debt because I had a scholarship.
Right.
But I had an English degree.
Yep.
I had an English degree. So I got a job working, taking reservations for Delta Airlines. And then I got a job with an internet business. So I was working basically like 14 hours a day and I lived with four people to be able to afford my rent, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't the ideal like situation, you know. Even though like I went through all of that and I somehow came out the other side of it, I look at what you guys are going through and I have so much empathy for Jesus Christ, the hill that you have to climb. Jesus.
Yep. Well, just the general hill, but then the fact that absolutely everything is the fault of millennials.
Yes. Like,
we can't do this because millennials eat this certain thing, or we can't do this because millennials really like takeout, or we can't, like, it's just like, honestly, just fuck off. I saw there was something, this was a while back, but someone had posted like a photo on Twitter of a collage of garages, like six or eight garage. And the whole point was, you know, Apple started in a garage, Amazon's, it was all these huge companies that started in a garage, and someone responded and they were like, yeah, too fucking bad, we can't afford garages. Like, that must be the problem, that's why we're not successful. But it's just like, I know they exist, and they exist in every generation and every race and every gender, but I don't know any millennials who are just kicking back and not doing a damn thing. Like, I don't. They're busting their ass to make things work.
I saw a tweet. Someone said, would you rather listen to a millennial complain about their student loans, or would you rather listen to a boomer talk about how much he fucking hates his wife?
Yep. Yep.
Are we going to get a lot of shit for this episode? We might get a lot of shit for this episode.
But it's to bring it full circle, it's generational bullying.
There's an and. There's so much depression in your generation. Oh my God.
Yep.
So much depression.
And to add to that, because mental health care is often not covered and a lot of people don't have great insurance, it doesn't really get taken care of or treated.
No. Correctly.
Right. Yes. So it's a shit show. And it's all the millennials' fault, ultimately. Like, you didn't major in business or medicine, so now you can't pay off your student loans and you're depressed and that's on you.
Yeah.
So if everyone just majored in business, we'd be good. Solve everything. And then a millennial majors in business and opens a bakery that serves toast with avocado and gets fucking shit on. because that's the millennial problem. So it's a lose-lose, like, at every single turn.
So take Cammie, for instance. She's one of, I don't know how many thousands and thousands and thousands of people in your generation who have gone to New York to pursue what they want to do in life, right?
Yep.
And they work their asses off with for no money as interns in these industries while working as at a coffee shop or while serving tables or while bartending to pay their bills. So they're literally working 20 hours a day trying to break into what they want to do in life. And it's so difficult that you're still bartending at 30, right? And not that bartending is like a dead end place, but that bartending is not what they wanted ultimately to be doing. Right.
They didn't go to New York to bartend. They went to New York to do something else. And they're bartending because that actually pays them.
And these are aspirational and ambitious people who have risked all of this, going to like one of the most expensive places to live in the world, and they aren't lauded for that ambition or that aspirational nature in them. They are demeaned because it's like, well, you should have done something else.
Yep. But that's what I mean with like that lose-lose is, you know, they say millennials need ambition. They need to go find opportunities. So these people literally go, physically go to find opportunity and can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then are blamed for that. Or they'll say, well, you shouldn't have moved to New York. It's too expensive. Well, where are they going to go? Like the middle of Iowa for an opportunity? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. But it's easier to just point to a person or a generation as the problem than take a step back and look at society in general and figure out what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it's easier to, you know, hate listen to this episode and then find a random website somewhere that is devoted to hate and bitch about it than it is to actually just sit back and be like, what am I so angry about that I need to hate listen and devote my time to hate? It's just, and I don't keep bringing that. It's not like we're having these major issues with hate listeners, but it's just a good example because it's a scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately. For what, it really depends on, but that's what it is.
I also think that you guys sort of came up. So we were adults as technology was transforming, right? And technology over the last 10 years has literally just jumped 1,000 years, right? Technology is, I mean, literally, again, like we were having an argument in 2005 over whether or not we should have music on our phones, right? And so as adults, we've been able to, I mean, we're emotionally capable of handling this change in technology. You guys were coming of age as all of this technology was developing and changing and moving. And I think that somewhere in there's a glitch. And maybe that glitch is responsible for the malaise. And in addition to the fact that you have, you know, $70,000 in student loans to pay off.
In addition to that, yeah.
In addition to that.
I mean, contributes. Yeah. It's wild. And then I guess, I don't know, maybe this is a stretch, but you look and say, the millennials that do have kids, like, I mean, I'm on the older end of millennial, I know that, but I still fit into that category. But the millennials that do have kids are still facing this incredible uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to raise kids who are, you know, in group texting hell or fighting their own challenges. And you've got one person who's feeling incredibly hopeless, trying to help little people who are coming to terms with those emotions too.
Yeah.
And that's an awful, just a shit situation.
Which is why we need good social workers.
Right. I mean, it is. I mean, we need good social workers and good therapists and good insurance. And yeah. Can you imagine how many more assholes there would be if everybody majored in business and no one majored in social work? I mean, Yeah. That was, I'm glad that you brought that up. My dad, when he went back to college, he went for social work. And I mean, he even knew.
Oh, really?
He knew there was not money in it. But that's, I mean, 35, 40 years ago when he went to college initially, that's what he wanted to do because he knew that's what he was meant to do. And when he went back, that's what he pursued for the same exact reason. And yeah. It is just, there's so much expected. It's such an uphill battle. There's so much red tape. And you get nothing for it. And these people need help.
Yeah.
And you get nothing to help them. It's just, it, everything is so backward.
Oh, God.
This was a really uplifting one. But it is, it's so important. I mean, just across the board, I know we started with bullying, but it is. And in part because you've had one of those weeks that's like a month and a half and it needed to be addressed, but.
Yeah. But I really do feel like there's been a breakthrough. Like that therapist, her therapist's insight into like, these kids are experiencing emotions that they aren't supposed to experience for a very much, much later in life. And they don't know how to deal with it. And it is a terrorizing feeling for them. Like it's literally a fucking Black Mirror episode. Like it's an actual living, breathing Black Mirror episode that these kids are like, oh, why am I feeling this way?
Yeah. Yep. And then, I mean, I imagine he doesn't necessarily have an answer for this, but because they are now facing those emotions that they're not ready to or mentally prepared to face, how do you help them understand them in a way that is acceptable to them, but also mm-hmm. processable to them?
Right.
And I don't think there's necessarily one answer, because that's the thing, is that kids are so smart that they know if you're just blowing smoke up their ass. So you have to find a way to not dumb it down, but simplify it so that they can process it without them feeling like you're treating them like they're idiots. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, that's a challenge with kids, with parenting, just in general.
Just in general, yeah.
But yeah, that's, so it's helpful to know. I mean, it's helpful to have that identified, and it's awesome in Marlo's case that the principal is on it. Mm-hmm. Like they're aware that this is a thing, but what a hard thing to try to wrangle.
Yeah.
Because all kids have phones, and you can't, even if you say no phones at schools, that doesn't solve anything.
No.
And you're going to have parents who don't think it's an issue at all.
I'm raising my hand. I didn't think it was an issue. And then, oh, wait a minute. My second child is very different from my first child. Holy shit.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, you have one and you think I can have more because I know how to do it. Yeah. No. You don't. You might not.
Oh, my first one is like, I take full credit. Oh, I can't take full credit for her. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, she's, man, just who she is.
But
yeah, so I'm ready for all the shit that we're gonna get about this.
Just blame millennials. Just blame them.
Yeah, just blame millennials. Root cause of it all.
Right. Yeah, we fucked it all up. It's okay. Honestly, some millennials probably invented group text, so you can blame them for that.
You know what it is? It's because you guys weren't alive to watch the thriller video.
That's what did it.
I told you, that's my benchmark. I'm like, were you alive when the Thriller video was released? Oh my God, you weren't. Holy shit.
Oh, that must be what it was. Yeah. That explains so much. I think if that was an article that came out, is that millennials are the problem because they were not alive when Thriller came out, that is an article I would read. I mean, like, yeah, okay, that sounds legit. Let's talk about that.
Well, I mean, a whole other episode is like, what are the benchmarks of your generation? Like that, like for us, like, I mean, do you remember the space shuttle Challenger exploding? Do you remember where you were? I guess for you guys, it's like, where were you on September 11th, right?
Oh yeah, that's definitely a huge one, yeah.
And I'm wondering what the benchmarks are going to be for like Lita's generation and for Marla's generation. So
the election of Donald Trump.
Scary to think about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where were you when you found out he he was going to be president.
Where were you when you found out that the UN came out with a report that basically the global warming is going to make the planet uninhabitable in 22 years?
Yep. Yep. Oh, man. Wow, well, we just took a grim episode and made it a little bit darker. So on that note, if you have any kids, I mean, I'd love to hear from listeners who've maybe dealt with, I mean, in-person bullying, but especially digital, because it's a totally new space. And, you know, maybe you've dealt with it yourself, maybe you've dealt with it with teens, or even kids Marlo's age. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to know how people are dealing with it, or how maybe their schools are dealing with it, or what's happening. So, as always, you can email us to stories@manicramblings.com, or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @ManicRamblings. And, of course, Patreon, patreon.com/ManicRamblings. We're all over.
We're all over.
That's right.
And, until next time, come on, fucking pull it together.
Fine, damn it.
When I was your age, I didn't even have student debt.
Oh, God.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.